Abani Gani, everyone. This is Professor Amin-Ra, Professor Emeritus, California State University, Long Beach, Africana Studies Department, former city councilman for the city of Compton, former Compton Unified School District Board of Trustees, and former Compton College Board of Trustees. We want to welcome you here to the Conscious Corner, where we're going to have a very critical discussion about the what is the true identity of the crisis that we face as Black people with regards, and why is it a crisis, or is it a normal functionality to have diverse identities among yourselves and not just a unified one? And generally, the unification of an identity comes from outside, where people categorize you, and then you either accept it or reject it. But most people just want to be human beings, be themselves, individuals. But anyway, we want to get right into it because it is necessary for us to understand this as we deal with the political climate of today. Some of us are suffering from the illusion of inclusion. Some of us are suffering from just naivete, just not into what's going on in the world and what's happening politically, economically, or socially. They just feel that it's just none of their business until it's a crisis within their family. It's something they can't handle. You understand? And they get included into a structure that they find challenging, or that they didn't know this was going on. You talk to people, sometimes they say, "I didn't know that was happening." You say, "Well, it was all over the news." I mean, how you couldn't know? And people just say, "Oh, well, I don't watch the news." Well, okay, that's why you don't know what's happening. You know, so and don't socialize, don't communicate, and don't discuss critical issues over the dinner table or amongst friends at the barbershop. What's going on here? Oh, something happened. Can you hear me?
Hear you and see you just fine.
Well, okay, going on. Okay, there it is. All right. Now, most people see how you identify yourself is how you understand yourself. Like dealing with your children. Dr. Amos Wilson once said, they're the wrong people who say, "We don't understand the youth of today." Have you ever heard that, Ernest? That we don't understand the youth of today, they different? Oh, how about you, Linda? Okay, how about you, Mashinda?
Yeah, I'm sorry, I was unmuting my mic. Yes, I've heard that before.
Okay. Do you feel like you understand the kids of today?
Not really, not me. I'm trying.
What about
though,
you,
I don't,
Ernest?
I don't
do you
give
feel
up.
Like... Do you feel like you understand some of the youth of the day that you run into?
Pretty much, because you know, I still kind of connect with the youth, like coaching, you know, track and field. And I go over to high school and help out sometimes. So that, and I go to their banquet, so that give me a chance to talk to them somewhat, you know, but not on an everyday basis, but you know, maybe a couple of times a month I'm over there. So,
what about you, Mashinda? You work with young people all the time.
Yeah, I work with all of them. Yeah, I understand them. You know,
you
I understand what's going on. Oh yeah,
okay.
That's what
Dr. Amos Wilson was saying, that when you say you don't understand them, you're saying I don't know them, and we should always know our children and know their behavior and what they're understanding, even if they're not our biological kids. We should be able to, you know what they're going through and how they see the world and what's distracting them, and try to get them back on the distract test of what's they're doing positive to encourage them. But knowing our children is very important, and it's very hard not to know how to deal with your children if you don't, because you were a child once and now you're grown, and they're probably saying, "I don't understand my old folks." You understand, because of the lack of communication. But anyway, identity is one of the most critical things that we need to understand, because sometimes the system will identify you and demonize you, or Get you, as Malcolm said, to hate yourself from the top of your head to the bottom of your feet. Make you think your nose is too big, make you think your lips are too big, make you think your skin is too ugly, make you think your hair is too kinky. You know, we used to call each other, "You old nappy head boy." You understand? We used to do those type of things, and then we tried to get our hair like white folks, you know, with processes, Marcel's and all kind of stuff, Murray's grease, and wearing scarves around the heads as men, and women wearing it, pressing their hair. That's where the ironing used to be, having iron comb and all that. And people used to do their hair right in front of, you know, do it at home. And then all of a sudden they got to go into beauty salons and they getting extensions and getting all kind of different hair molds that don't represent a culture or ethnic identity, just what they call beautification, as the European has gotten us to believe that long hair is a beautification, that a pointed nose is beautification, that light skin is a beautification. And so that creates a identity conflict among many people. So anyway, when we deal with a scientific method of determining identity, which is very crucial, can you scientifically come up with an identity formulation or material to help you understand who you are and what's going on with regards to your identity? Well, there are the first one, from a scientific standpoint, is the anthropological identity of people. And our anthropological identity deal with our geographical origin of existence. Where did we originate from as an African people or Black person? Where was that discovered? On the continent of Africa, you can say that the majority of Black people in the world live there. Is that fair to say? Of course. Okay, so we began to deal with paleontologists and anthropologists and all the pologists that dig up the grounds and reconstruct bones and things of that nature and artifacts. And they found out that the original origin of the African people, is the continent of Africa. And African and Black are the same. As Dr. Ben would say, there's no such thing as a Black African because there ain't no other kind. You understand? And so there's a big debate about how Africa got its name Africa. Some Europeans like to say, some European general or explorer named Africanus, but other researchers have gone back further than that and found out there was an African name before that, way before then. And so they're saying that it was Africans that named the continent of Africa Africa. But the continent of Africa has been called Olympia, it's been called Ethiopia. 12 million square miles with about 50 something countries. But anyway, so the anthropological origin of Black people or African people is the continent of Africa. How do you determine that scientifically? By paleontologists and anthropologists who dig up the bones and they scientifically examine the bones and find that there's melanin, which is if you have a significant amount of melanin, that means you were dark pigmented, or you had color in your pigmentation. And so they have found that throughout the continent of Africa, as they excavate these bones and these artifacts that resemble symbols and pictures and utensils that are commonly used on the continent of Africa. Now, when you go to the zoo, when you go to the La Brea tar pits, you have no problem accepting their anthropological determination that the dinosaurs and the caveman and all of that came from their anthropological finding. But a lot of African people, or a lot of so-called Black people, they would not accept, for some reason, some of them, that their anthropological origin is the continent of Africa. Now that's all right. They see themselves as different, but we'll get to that in a minute. So the anthropological origin is based on science of what they call anthropology. There are two types of anthropology. There's cultural anthropology, and then there's physical anthropology. Physical anthropology is a science. Is a science. Science means to know. It means that you have a hypothesis and criteria to substantiate your belief or your understanding of what you of your anthropological aspects. And so that's very critical for us to understand from that standpoint. So what I'm saying to you is that there's no doubt that the anthropological origin of Black people is the continent of Africa, or dark pigmented people from the continent of Africa. You can call them anything you want, but they're definitely the anthropological origin of Black people is of the continent of Africa. And then, and even some biblical texts suggest that. One time in Times Magazine, they had a picture of Adam and Eve with bushy hair and dark pigmentation on the cover. I'm remembering this. I know you saw it.
Yeah, I remember. You don't see that no more.
And so that's very critical. Yeah. And the other one is a physiological aspects of people with dark pigmentation or colored pigmentation, and that is very critical. And that is the one in which you go by physical looks: broad nose, bushy hair, thick lips, and that's generally a criteria for African people, Afrocentric look, Afrocentric look. Even some whites see white people with broad nose and thick lips. They say they mix, or they got some African in them or some Black in them. That's why they sometimes distinguish some Jewish people. They have bushy hair and broad noses and things of this nature. They are mixed people. Now, there's an argument. Well, I'll get to that later. But the physiological and physiology is a science. So if you go by your physiological and genetic, from the standpoint of people are being able to get DNA and discover that DNA, that it goes all the way back to the continent of Africa. And they argue that the first woman, the first human on the planet of African descent or dark pigmentation was a woman, and that she had her child without a male. And then that started it. But, you can say, you can't have a child, but people believe that Mary had Jesus without, they do that, all of the immaculate conceptions. But they have found some not today human being, that some animals produce life without any interaction. Some fish and things of that nature. And even they have, in some waters, males having babies or laying eggs and things of this nature. But anyway, the physiological aspect of the Black identity is based on physical science of their dark pigmentation and melanin, genes, genetic DNA, as well as their bushy hair, thick lips, and broad nose. That's found commonly with regards to describing African people. Even if when they find a body that they can't identify, they can tell if it was Black when they go in and check the bones and see how much melanin was in the bones and things of this nature. And through DNA, with regards to their a test of their DNA, and that's very critical. So that's physical. And the third one is a philosophical aspect, which is a social science, physical, a philosophical composition of the Black identity. So you got the anthropological composition of the Black identity, physiological, now it's the philosophical. And you always ask this question, what is the philosophy of African people and things like that? All philosophies and ideologies, for the most part, are created by humans. There's also a word, as Dr. Yusuf Ben would say, gods don't create people, people create gods. And then we'll get to that. Because most people think God created the earth and the heaven and things, it's nature. But some people believe in evolution, some people believe in other aspects of the existence, even from the standpoint of going space and things of this nature. And so we go on, we move on, and then there's a philosophy. Do you practice a cultural apparatus of philosophy that comes from your ethnicity or your origin of existence or your African customary or cultural apparatus? What is your philosophy of life, of governance yourself, and things of this nature? We ask people, what did you do Black today? We can ask a modern person, what did you do Black today? Or what did you do African today? You know, if you say you're African, and if you say you're Black, what did you do? From the standpoint of a philosophy, do you follow Malcolm? Do you follow Garvey? Do you follow Queen Mother Moore? Do you follow any African ethnic group on the continent? Do you live by their philosophy, their culture? What is your philosophy, the philosophical aspects of your existence? How do you see yourself, and how do you define yourself, and how do you govern yourself, and how you see the world? And that's very important, because see, all of this is created, you know. Culture and ideology and philosophy all emerge together. And what happens is that under the aspects of philosophy and culture, it comes the concept of knowledge, education. Is something you taught. And the basis of education is knowledge. You're not learning something and somebody teach you something stupid or fun or lie. But you're learning something if they teach you the truth. But that truth has to come from knowledge, test, and based on facts that substantiate it. That's why they require you to take United States history. But history used to be his story. But they added scientific hypothesis to it to substantiate that story, to make sure that it's accurate and true as much as they could. And then after they do that, that substantiates it verifies what is supposed to be a historical perspective that that person is talking about. Now, what I'm trying to say is that when you all ideologies and philosophies are thought up or created by people. What makes them real is people believing in it. And what makes people believe in it is that they're taught it and they believe that it's knowledge. And the basis of knowledge is truth. And the basis of truth is more truth. That's why what may be truth yesterday may not be truth today, because you're constantly looking for more truth and better truth from that standpoint. So you have culture, ideology, and philosophies that are created. And all religions are cultural apparatuses, are cultural. Some people say the word culture come from the word cult. I want you to understand that. The U-R-E is just a suffix or add-on to it. Picture, you understand? And all those type of things, the U-R-E. You had English, you know that. So when we start dealing with philosophies and ideologies and cultures and things of this nature, all of them are created. All religions are created. You understand? Someone created Islam. Someone credit Prophet Muhammad 1500 years ago with creating Islam. Someone created said that it was 30 years after Jesus Christ died that his disciples created Christianity. Because Jesus never referred to himself as a Christian. You understand? Everybody, that came 30 years after his death. And so that's very important. See, people like Jim Jones, how was he able to take people over to Guyana? And even, you remember Big Mike Ernest? Yeah. His mother, I think, a relative.
He went over there and got his
yeah,
grandfather, he went over there. Yeah. Yeah. Grandmother wouldn't come though.
Yeah. And but some say they drank the Kool-Aid, some say they were injected, some say some of them was murdered, some may have voluntarily drank the Kool-Aid. Yeah. But the point is that how can you believe in somebody so say that you would up and leave your family and go with them? Yeah. And they say Jim Jones did some serious stuff. He got some chicken guts. Act like he pulled it out of people. he paid people to act like they were dead and he raised them. And so he performed miracles. And that's the same thing with the Hare Krishnas and the people that was in Texas and Waco. Burn up in a building with somebody and don't get out of there? Yeah. You know, same thing with the MOVE group and other groups. I'm just telling you how people can believe in things.
Yeah.
You understand? And believe in ideologies and philosophies and positions by just somebody that they follow or they want to believe behavior or their God, you know, theologizing. See, the whole thing about culture is about ritualization of your existence. There's African music on the continent. There's Haitian music. There's Jamaican music, which Rastafarian, as Rasha Key would say, they got their own music style. And then Black people in America have their own music style. I mean, rhythm and blues, you're not going to find that in Jamaica. You understand? That's something that Black people created to go along with their environment and what they were feeling. You know, they had freedom songs to get out of slavery. And then they had post-slavery songs amongst themselves. Europeans wouldn't let them sing love songs at that time. But anyway, the point is that these are things that were created. You understand? Out of the consciousness and the thoughts of people making up music, making up songs, making up dances to ritualize who they are. In other words, if you're going to say you're Black, do you love it and do you ritualize it? Do you live it? Do you live a Black conscious life or Black perspective life? Which Black ideology do you follow? Which Black philosophy do you follow? That you accept is truth, and that you accept is, that this is the way you want to live and die. See, what made Christianity real, people died being Christians. You know? I mean, you may not believe in it, but they did. So you may not believe in Christianity, but you can't say there's not a billion of them that do. Look what they're doing with the Pope, with the enclave. A secret meeting among 130 people gonna choose the leader of the Catholic Church. And they can't use phones, they can't talk to nobody. They just come out with, this is what we voted for. And the people accept them as a pope, as ordained by God, but people chose them. You understand? But they say each cardinal is inspired by God to vote the way God wants them to vote. That's a heavy thing, man. But anyway, getting back to the philosophies. So you look at Rastafari. I mean, there are all types of philosophies out there that people believe in. That's why there's so many different identities. We Some people say because we don't have a unified identity, that we're confused and we're having a crisis. It's not that. That everybody, I mean, people just say, "Hey, look, I'm just me." I don't identify with nothing. You understand? I just want to live in peace. And there are other people that accept an identity. Now, as we got our liberation in this country, there various identities came up. You understand? There's very philosophy. There was the Back to Africa movement by Eric Gliden and other individuals. There was Garveyites, you know, who believed in Garvey philosophy. There was the Black Panthers, you understand? Even though they were an integrated group, they called themselves the Black Panthers, and they got it from Lyons County, the Gray Panthers, and they took that name. But the Black Panthers was always integrated. Their attorney, Charles Gary or something, was their attorney, who was Jewish and white. When Eldridge Cleaver wrote his book, Soul on Ice, it was dedicated to a white girl. You understand? Marlon Brando was one of the chief donors, as well as Jane Fonda. And that's why some Black organizations had conflict with the Panthers, because they were getting money from whites and identifying with white value systems. And they only had a 10-point program. They never had a philosophy. A program is not a philosophy. Feed the children, free schools, housing, protect yourself from police, all those type of things. And then they decided, we're going to fight from within the system and begin to try to pursue political offices. And then they identified with the socialist group and the communist group. And you have to understand, those are all white people, socialists and communists. You understand? But people don't know that about the Panthers. Some of the young people saw them as just Black, but their leadership and those that interacted with them for financial reasons and for political reasons were white. You understand? That's very important for you. You don't have to see it. All you have to do is study it. It's right there. And the same thing with some people say they're Pan-Africanists. And many of them, I remember Kwame Ture, who was Stokely Carmichael, he laughed at Black people calling them, taking African names. And he would often ask people, why you take an African name? And then he end up taking an African name and saying that we're not Black, we're Africans. If you ever deal with the All People African Party, which he started, remember, he started out with SNCC, Student for Nonviolent Coordinating Committee. Then he went into the Panthers, you understand? And then he went into, in fact, he was starting the nonviolent movement with Martin Luther King. And they started the term, him and, can't think of the brother's name, started the Black Power Movement. But anyway, they created that scenario, popularizing Blackness. And he started Black Power and called himself Black People for years. And then he began to travel to Africa and see the world from a global standpoint. And he decided to start the All-African Revolutionary Party, in which they tell all Black people, you're not Black, you're African. And we got to call ourselves African. And many of them still do. Many of them still do, of the All-African Revolutionary Party. Then the US organization said, we US don't mean United Slaves. It means we're US, we're with the Black people, or with the African people. We're with the people in struggle. And that's why the US organization, but they had a doctrine, a philosophy, and discipline. And they still exist today. Most of the other organizations that were very popular in the 60s, you don't find them. You know, you don't even hear about them. When the last time you heard about CORE, Congress of Racial Equality? When do you hear about the Urban League? Only when they put out their annual statement. When do you hear about I wasn't NAACP as a civil rights group, but this started as an integrated group. You know, the first two presidents were white, the Spingrum brothers. You understand? And they still give a Spingrum Award. And at their first NAACP Image Award, they would give them to white people. You understand? For money, you know. I understand. You got to remember, they had a program where send a $2 bill in and for money, and then they had the a dollar something, you understand, to raise funds. But anyway, getting back to this black thing. And so there are different aspects of the black African identity in America. And so there were four mentalities that grew out of our Holocaust of enslavement and identity mentality. And that first mentality was the Negroid or Negro mentality, which is culturally absorbed into European, forced or voluntarily began to identify with the Negro term which means black in Spanish and sometimes in other language. A Negroid means that. And some people, and the white man shortened it to nigger, of course, but at the same time, that's where the term came from, the Negroid. And because when we came here, we came with different ethnic identities from our ethnic, because, you know, the continent of Africa, as I said, 12 million miles, and they're different ethnic groups. All ethnic groups grew out of families, and they named the ethnic group after their families. And so, anyway. And that's almost all ethnic groups in the world. You know, that's where Chinese got their name and Japanese. They're all named after individual families and they grew into nations. But coming back to the black identity here, the Negro identity means that you're culturally absorbed, meaning you're totally absorbed into your American culture and your American identity. Matter of fact, organizations name themselves Negro, like the National Negro Women Association, NAACP, there's just so many organizations that were named and used the term Negro to identify themselves as they tried to develop a national identity. The second one is Afro-American or African-American. Now, Afro-American was the earliest one, and it was identified as a African heritage, but American identity. So you had a compound identity. You understand? African-American, African and American. You understand? And those organizations and groups and individuals would identify that way. Some of them would name them kids after African names and, you know, put in African artifacts in their house, but they still identified as American. You understand? They just want to identify with their heritage. They looked at it from a heritage standpoint, not a history standpoint, but a heritage. Heritage is just something about you identify with, you know, a historical identity. And that's what you mean when you say my heritage. But anyway, getting back to that, and they named themselves, the organization, under that aspect of cultural identity. The next thing is a black identity, which is isolationist. So the Negro's cultural is absorption. African American is a combination of not just absorption, but of just a compound identity that they deal with. They work with all groups as African Americans because you see yourself as American at the same time. Then there's a black identity, which is isolationist. For the most part, black Muslims, meaning, you know, black Muslim, Black Panther. They name themselves after a racial identity, and they believe in isolation. All of them groups are supposed to believe that black people are supposed to be with themselves and just, you know, they don't deal with other people. And they develop codes and ethics that go with each of those identities. And under the Negro, you don't tell them what you're going to do. But under the Afro-American, if you choose to marry a Latino, that's your business. If you choose to marry a white woman, that's your business as an African-American. But when you get into black isolation, you ain't supposed to do that. You're supposed to stay with your race identity, and you isolate yourself or your identity from other groups. Very, very, very critical. Then, as I said, there's another one called individual. And that's the person that say, I'm just a human. You don't say what kind. They say, I'm human. I'm the individual. I do my own thing. And that's the majority of us. That's the majority of black people or African people in America. They see themselves as individuals. Can't nobody tell me what to do or what to think. You know, and, but they, you know, they listen to different things. Then all of that is trumped by sub-identities, such as if you are African or black and you say, I'm Christian, that take precedent over your physical identity. Because they say, I'm a Christian. If you say you're Muslim, you say you're Jewish, you understand? All of that's nullified your Africans, because those are universal religions that have spread and forced people to accept them all over the world. They're true. And you ain't supposed to put no God or nothing before their biblical text or their identity or their religion. They'll tell you that in a minute. You ain't a Christian unless you accept God, Jesus, as your Lord and Savior. And be baptized. Same thing with a Muslim. There's 100 attributes to Islam, and that's why they take all the different Arabic names, and the last one is Allah. And that encompasses all the other names. That's why all Allah. You understand? It's a unique aspect of the teaching, but most people don't want to get that deep into identity. They just want to just live and let all of us work together and love and care for each other. But those are the aspects. Now, why is this important to go over there? We're in dangerous and critical times today. There are two tendencies to history. That which is going in, coming in, and that's what's going out. Both struggle to come in, and both struggle not to go out. And what you're seeing in America today is a struggle to not go out of being, not go out of being a white power. You understand? The power to determine what's right and wrong. What's right and wrong? You understand? They determine that. And one time they decided it was wrong for anybody to marry outside their race. They call them miscegenation laws. You couldn't mix. You understand? They make up laws. And when they make up laws, they believe they're the only ones that can break them. You know, because they made them. I mean, they pass laws all the time. You understand? Some good, some bad. They had laws that you couldn't drink from the same faucet as a white person if you had a different ethnicity or race. You understand? You couldn't ride on the bus. Those were laws. They arrested the sister for sitting on the bus. They arrested her and put her, you know, she had to bail out of jail. So I'm trying to tell you, they institutionalized laws to substantiate their philosophy and their ideology. And that's why most laws are to protect white people. They keep them in power. You understand? And then they get an escape hatch called pardons and called immunity. They say everybody got to go by the law, but you can get immunity. You know? And so everybody go by the law, but even if you can get a pardon. See how they can just make up stuff? You understand? These things they made up for them. You understand? Every now and then we get a benefit here and there. That's make you think that it's applied to everybody. But Trump, pardon over 200 some people that destroyed his own capital and left his own politicians to kill him. Hang Pinch. He pardoned the people. You know, defecated in the White House. He destroyed it. I mean, you know, destroyed Congress. I mean, the congressional building. You understand? Had them running for their lives. Oh, man, it is crazy. It is crazy, crazy, crazy. So our point is that we're dealing with a society that's it's going out of business. Trump got them thinking that they're losing. Everybody's ripping them off and they're losing. And they're the laughing stock as a white power group. Not as Americans, but as white nationalists in superiority. And so they're struggling not to go out of being. And that's why they're making all these contradictory behavior. Saying, I don't believe in the Constitution. Because why? It applies to too many people. You know, we wrote it. It's for us. You know, everybody that signed the Constitution wouldn't want no Native American, no black people, no women, just white men. You understand? That's the law of the land. You understand? That they're supposed to go by. But if you say you're an American, it applies to you. And that's why Trump said, I don't know if it applies to everybody. So that's why we have to begin to see the realities of what's crumbling down. As we struggle for more right and more justice, they're struggling to stay in power to determine how much rights and how much justice you're going to get. Are you following me on that? I mean, Zimmerman followed the young boy home, even after the police told him not to go, not to follow him, leave him alone. And he still did it. And, he killed that young man. And you understand? And then they let him off. They let him off. A young man with some juice, a soda pop, some Skittles. You understand? Wasn't bothering nobody. Just, he looked strange to me. He's black. He got a beanie on and whatever he was wearing. You understand? And got off. But I want you to understand this. You understand how serious that is? In their court, amongst their juries. You understand? That's why it's important that you have the power to govern yourself. But you got to know where you are and how you see yourself. If you see yourself as just a regular American and you do American things, they're gonna punish you more severely than they do white Americans. That's proven in the courts all the time with drugs. Snorting cocaine and you have cocaine is different from crack. The sentences are different because most poor people have the crack. You understand? And so it's contradictory. Let me see some questions. Linda, you there? Are you there, Linda? Okay. How you doing?
I'm doing well, Professor. I just
how
came
you respond to where I've been just lecturing?
Yeah, I'm here. I was just trying to unmute.
Okay, go ahead, Linda.
Let Linda go. Linda, how you feel about those things that we're talking about, the identity?
Oh no, I'm agreeing with you 1,000% because you know I'm here taking notes. You can't see me, but I'm definitely taking notes and learning tonight.
You must do that.
I speak truth too, so yeah, I'm just following what you're saying. I like what you're saying too.
Okay, I appreciate that, Brother Ahi.
Yes, Professor. Once again, you're right on point. You know, I was just watching the program or the news just the other day. The police officer murdered this guy's son, and next day he ran him over. And every day the cops are killing somebody in the African diaspora. And personally, I feel if they don't feel their asses on the line, then they continue doing what they want to do. There's two standards here in the country. Mm-hmm. And that's what we're dealing with. You're right on point, Professor. Thank you for tonight's lessons. Thank you, sir.
All right. But, you've been in Detroit. They had one of the biggest major rebellions in Detroit back in the 67, I think it was.
67, yes, sir.
Yeah. And the National Guard came, but they didn't have bullets.
Well, we had them.
Yeah, they took a tank. They took a tank, the brothers in Detroit, if I remember correctly.
But that changed everything, too, Professor. That money started flowing in. We started getting jobs in the summertime. It was all type of things that started happening when they found out that there's people that's willing to stand, and they at the point where, okay, one an eye for an eye. Yeah, and you know, it's sad to say that, but it's true. These people will kill you and continue to murder you. Look what's happening over at Gaza. There's no consequences.
No. And the world is not. South Africa and the world courts have they even put a warrant out for the Jewish president
Netanyahu.
Netanyahu.
And one country he went to didn't arrest him, and they were mad at that country because of the genocide that they're doing. Matter of fact, I think that country, I can't remember the name of it right now, but they decided to, let him come to their country. He comes to the United States, and there's a world court, and they have already sent out a warrant for his arrest. But you have to have enforcement. Mm-hmm. That's why the police got on the car, law enforcement. You understand? If they don't enforce the law, it don't mean nothing. You understand?
Exactly.
You know,
that's why I'm really interested or really curious to see what's going to happen now, because what is the checks and balances? I mean, what happened to our civics courses that said we had a check and balance here? And look at where we are today. Things can never be the same now. How can they disrespect the law just blatantly and don't care, do what they want to, and then expect the rest of the world to? And they still are outnumbered. And I'm kind of curious how they getting away with all of this.
Well, there's ways you can do it. The reason people aren't doing anything is because they see themselves as American. But if you have a different culture apparatus, a value system, that hurts America. As long as you operate within their perspective, you're looking for someone else to help. You're looking for the courts to help, which are corrupt. You're looking for, ask the Supreme Court. They all bought. You understand? Congress is bought. You understand? That's why they elect them. But they're up there for the money and the perks. That's why they stay there until they're 85 and 82. But the people keep voting them in. I mean, Maxine Waters is 85 years old. You understand? Mm-hmm. And she's a multimillionaire now. You know, she didn't go there a multimillionaire, but she came out a multimillionaire.
As you most understand? Of them do.
And most of them get the perks. There's very few that don't come out rich. You understand? Because they're dealing with international corporations and businesses and lobbyists. And, even them ambassadors and things of this nature to their country make money. You'd be surprised at the way they make money up there, man.
I'm not surprised with it, because ain't nobody saying nothing about the Zionists. And even the ones who are asking to stop giving weapons and stuff, they hold their tongue. Yeah. Somebody is giving them money. That's these lobbyists and stuff. These people are not telling the truth. They're not telling the truth.
Well, You see, that's why I was just saying the foundation of knowledge, the truth, and you search for more truth. Corruption and this type of thing is doing things under a noble cause, but it's wickedness behind the noble cause. In other words, a lot of people doing dirty things, but acting like they're doing something. Like there are people that were collecting money to help the kids with different diseases. And 80% to 90% of the money went to the organization and not the service to the people. And they say that's operation costs. You know so they may, out of the dollars that they collect, how many really get to the people? You see? Like even in Compton Unified, they say it takes $4,000 to $5,000 to educate each kid. But the kid probably see 1 cent. The rest is administration, principals, counselors, building new facilities, diverting money for kids versus raises, lawsuits. When I was on the city council and the college boards of trustees, 80% of their things were personnel. 90% of their things were personnel issues and lawsuits. You understand? In closed session. That's all they had to deal with. Legal matters and trying to settle lawsuits or hire attorneys to defend themselves from behind lawsuits. It's a different game, man. It's a different game. But you're correct. Yes. It's about money. And you see why it doesn't matter if you're Democrat or Republican, because they all do it. That's why they all try to get in power. We work hard to get Democrats in power, and it ain't no change. You understand, for the most part. But getting back to that individualism is very important to understand that. All groups have these conflicts of identity. All groups have these conflicts of identity because there's so many ideologies and philosophies that have been created out there that people accept as truth. Look how many white people were. One of them people, the Hare Krishnas, that was going up to the airport, bald head, asking for money. Look at them people that follow Moonies. White people. Mm-hmm. You understand? Look at white people that follow the right wing, and they're arguing now that American politics is a new religion. people rather go to the Trump rally than the church.
It doesn't look like that.
You see, I mean, I'm just telling you. and so we have to prepare. How do we prepare? We can't just talk about what's going on. You have to develop the discipline and the perspective, even if you're a single woman or a single man, or if you have children, to protect yourself from bad thoughts and ideologies and practices, as well as the possibility of chaos breaking out. You understand? In Cairo, Illinois, back in the 70s, they had a race riot. And the police went home and the fire department went home to protect their families. And with no law enforcement out there. You understand? People just, everybody got their guns and things of this nature until they simmered down and they were able to bring in the National Guard and restore peace. I want you to understand. I mean, what's that happened here? People don't see that. People don't see the accident they're going to get in. You leave your house, you don't expect to get no accident. Somebody run a light, or you reading your phone and hit somebody from the back. Things happen, unexpected. And people believe that this country, that it can't fall. But all great empires have fallen. You understand? That's what happened with, you see, The word recession is another word for depression. That's all it is. They changed depression because it made people upset. And they start calling it recessions. Because in the Depression, there are people in soup lines and all kinds of problems were going on. And so that's an ugly thing when you say it depresses you. Mm-hmm. And so so that's, they call it a recession. But they changed, like when the MGM blew up in fire in Vegas, I forget what hotel, they changed the name. You understand? Because they didn't want people to remember that hotel that caught on fire and killed a lot of people. And so that's not, you know, trying to just give it a different identity. But getting back to our point, Ernest, what do you think about what's been said?
Well, I see it just like you, you know, kind of agree with most of what you said, but just like we got a president in there now, and then the courts, they're supposed to, you know, be judicial system supposed to be watching him, and then they go to court and say, well, a sitting president can't be prosecuted. Well, why not? He's breaking the law. You know, so he's doing what he want to do because they give him, you know, an open check. Go ahead and do it because we can't do nothing to you while you're in office. And that's why Netanyahu is doing all that crap he's doing. In the paper today, they talking about taking over Gaza. Israel said, we're just going to take over, to move in there with our troops and take it over and push the people live there, push them down to the southern end of Gaza.
You know, and America, and that's
somebody's country. Yeah,
that's what Trump wanted to do. So he got Israel to do it.
Same thing.
He gave him the green light.
Boy, it's just unbelievable. I can't, you know, well, man, I'm telling you, we got all the checks and balances we supposed to have, but they're not doing nothing. But like you say, everybody's bought and paid for up there.
Mm-hmm. And they can do that to your house.
Yeah,
they can do that to your community. They can come in. And just, you know, you could pass a curfew, yeah. Nobody come out, yeah, until 12 noon.
Domain or whatever and take.
Yeah. You're right. All right. But anyway, listen, I think we're going to have Brother Linda. I think we're going to have Reggie on next Tuesday.
Okay. Yeah, Reggie. I didn't know that. But thank you for telling me. I didn't know that.
Well, I've been trying to reach him, but I'm going to try to get him on for next Tuesday.
Okay.
All right. I called him. He hasn't called me back yet.
Okay. I'll give him a call tomorrow also.
All right. All right, Rasha Q, what about tomorrow?
Oh, we have one of my grandnieces coming on.
Okay. She's an interview her.
We're going to interview her.
Okay. Tomorrow.
Yes.
All right. All right, everybody. Go ahead, Rasha Q. Anything else?
That's it.
All right, brother. Okay. We're going to take our pause.
All right. See each you. One teach one. Conscious Corner.
All right, then. Okay.